Thanks for joining me today on By His Grace Podcast. I'm your host, Misty Phillip. Sometimes in life, we face temporary trials and setbacks. And other times, we experience prolonged seasons of hardship. Either way, where there are deep wounds, there is deep grace. My next guest, Susan Wilder, is full of wisdom and grace that comes from a life surrendered to God's calling to love her family well through the trials of being a caregiver of a loved one suffering from a chronic illness. I fell in love with Susan when I met her, and I know you will too.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hi, Misty. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being on the By His Grace podcast. And today we're going to talk about an area that you've struggled with in your life, or your husband has struggled with. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about that struggle?
Absolutely. Struggle for family is what I would call it. And I could go back and tell you many struggles in my own life, but I thought we would focus specifically on this one because it's been a very long, ongoing struggle. In 2004, my husband was 42. We had four kids, one getting ready to graduate from high school and one getting ready to start first grade. So we were in the middle of life and family. My husband owned his own business, and we were just that normal little family doing normal little stuff. And so his back started hurting one day, and we said, take an Advil, you'll be fine, rest, all of those things that you do. And so what began as, we thought, just a strange little moment in time now has defined a lot of our life. Almost now, we counted this up the other day, Frank and I have been married almost 34 years.
Congratulations.
And, well, thank you. In just a few days. And this struggle has been with us for almost 16 years of that. So we're getting close to half of our marriage, which seems very strange to even say out loud. So again, when you have a struggle like that is chronic, I told somebody the other day, I didn't really understand what chronic actually meant. I do now. It is, you don't get away from it. We just recently went to the beach. We're officially empty nesters now. And so our son, the sophomore, almost junior in college. And so we went to the beach just a few weeks ago together, just my husband and I. And somebody asked me about our trip, and I said, oh, it was wonderful. The weather was good. You know, it was wonderful. But we didn't leave everything at home. We didn't leave pain at home. And so he began with a first surgery, then a second surgery. And we kind of just followed this pathway of, somebody needs to fix him. And everybody told us they could, each surgeon, and they did their best. They tried, but nobody did. And so we, about 5-6 years in, we realized we probably need to look at a new path, which was, it's called pain management, and they don't go together. Pain and manage. So we've walked that for a long time, but it has changed much about our family, about, he couldn't work. He hasn't worked since 2004, full-time, any kind of job. And the dealing with just what that means identity-wise for a guy.
It's huge.
He is the most wonderful, godly man that I've ever known. And truly now, I really say now that he is the strongest man I know. But it has nothing to do with how much weight he can lift.
Yeah. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So how specifically has this struggle in other ways affected your family?
Changed a lot of expectation, I think. My husband was very active, and he still tries to be. We have four grand boys now. Mm-hmm. So he wants, thank you, to keep up as much as he possibly can. But what would have been at that time, the younger kids that were home then would wait for him to come home in the afternoon after work, and they would shoot basketball with him, or they would throw the baseball with him, or they would play kickball out in our court, they would play cards on the bed with him. They would lay down and read a book with him. They would watch a movie with him. So just that relationship changed somewhat. When you're in the pain management world, just medication changes changes a lot of things. Certainly changes attitude. It changes ability in some ways to even with decision making. And I don't want to paint a picture that he's incapable, because he's not at all. Not that at all. But there were many times where I needed to make decisions on his behalf, just like I know he would have done for me, whether right. it was in the world of the medical world or our financial decision. I'd been very fortunate and blessed that we had chosen for me to be at home. We, in all of this process, he owned his own business and, of course, could not sustain that. And so we lost that. We lost a home. We lost everything, really, that the world would say is important. Yeah. We didn't lose our faith. And we didn't lose the grace of God.
So let's talk about that. How, through that process, because in our Christian life, it doesn't always look the way the world thinks it should look. But yeah. How has God shown you grace in the midst of all of that?
It's funny. I looked up the word grace because we use that word all the time. And most people define that, especially biblically, as that favor of God that is unmerited, that we don't deserve. And so you think about that reality, and that comes in the form, to me, the reality of the hope of Jesus in salvation. But when you think about just very specific grace moments kind of thing, I think about those really big ones. For instance, when our house, when we needed to move out of the house that our kids had grown up in, we'd lived there for 16 years, we didn't have any place to go. And so there was a moment in about 3.5 years, we moved 7 times.
Wow.
And it was 2008, 2009, that time when the economy was crashing. And so our friends that were trying to sell their houses would say, hey, move into our house, pay us a little bit of rent, and you'll be fine. And the house isn't going to sell anyway. Well, we decided at one point we should probably go into the house staging business, because we kept selling houses in the time when nobody else was selling houses. So there we were, a new business. But there was a point where we were in a home. We had 7 days to move. We had nowhere to go. And at that point, financially, we really did have nowhere to go. And so we're graced with parents still living even now that we could have moved in with. We had 2 kids at home. And so we were just trying to figure, were we moving to a new city to change everything? And we got a call from my brother-in-law. He said, come just stay in our basement for a time. 2 of the kids were still at home. My daughter was 15 and 11-year-old son. And we said, no, that's not going to work. And so we talked about it, prayed about it. Okay, that's what we're going to do. So we sat our kids down, told them, this is not what we want. We don't really want to do this, but this is what God's provided. And we're going to accept that. And we're going to be gracious. And my daughter at 15 was most concerned about the fact that there was no bathroom in the basement. How am I going to get ready? Mom, seriously, how am I going to get ready to go to school?
Right.
You know, in all this turmoil.
Yeah, but that's
15. I got to get ready for school.
That's right.
So we said, we'll figure it out. You know, I didn't tell you, my brother-in-law, they had 5 kids at home at the time. So it was going to be a busy place. So we're ready to go Thursday night before we move on. Saturday, got a call. Somebody had a house, come live in it. And we had to just say, very honestly, we can't pay any rent right now. So we really shouldn't come look. No, we've heard, this person had heard our little story, want you to come. So we walked into this home and I thought, oh, it'll be a little brick, 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. It'll be great. We walked into what we now laughingly call the mansion. If you could take Southern Living and put it inside the home, that's what it was. And so I remember my 11-year-old son, white carpet everywhere. And I literally said, stand in the kitchen. Don't move. Don't touch anything. Stand right there. We'll get you on the way out. So we're walking around this house and we walk upstairs. And there's 4 bedrooms. Every bedroom had attached to it a bathroom.
Yeah.
And after some conversation with the people about, yes, we just want you to come here and rest. Nothing, you don't need to pay anything. We got in the car and I turned around to my kids. Never can tell this. I turned around and said, you know, guys, that verse in the Bible where God says in Ephesians, now to he who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, to him be the glory. Amen. And I said, do you realize you don't need a bathroom? You're 15. You can take a shower at night upstairs. We could figure this out. But for some reason, don't ever forget this. You know, in the Old Testament, God said over and over, remember these things, those Ebenezers, those stones. Yes. Don't forget. Remember this moment. And I said, God, he knew what you needed, but he also knew what you wanted. And for this time, here it is.
Wow.
Thank him and give him the glory.
Amen.
10 weeks later, we sold that house.
Wow, that's incredible.
So there's the big grace. But then also, Missy, I think about those everyday kind of things when, you know, when you're just having a hard day and you're tired and you're frustrated. And in our case, you know, your husband is frustrated, not at you, but just at, I just want to work.
Makes me irritable.
Absolutely.
So I can't imagine being in constant chronic pain.
And so just those moments. We had a time at one point where, and this was before it really all kind of went crazy, but this is my, I just love this sweet little story. We were sitting at our kitchen table and we weren't destitute and we could buy groceries, but there was a knock at the door and my son went to get the answer it. And by the time he got there, nobody was there, but there were 3 bags of groceries in brown bags. And he brought them in. Mom, somebody left groceries. I'm like, really? Well, what's it? So we start pulling things out and there's spaghetti and just, you know, what you would expect, crackers. And, and he pulls out this jar and he said, Mom, look, it's peanut butter. I love peanut butter. And I'm like, honey, we have a jar of peanut butter in the pantry. But look, Mom, they thought somebody, whoever they is, thought of peanut butter. And he said, why would they do that? And I said, well, honey, the only thing I know is that somebody loves Jesus enough to do something for somebody else, and we got to be the somebody else.
Yeah.
That's grace. That's
it is.
Undeserved, unmerited favor.
That's beautiful. That's amazing.
So there's lots of little grace stories too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. In the midst of your deepest, darkest times of struggle, how did you get through that? I mean, what scriptures did you cling to during that time that you can say, you know, I know in my life, sometimes I've had to say things over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Do you have any scriptures like that?
I think, yes, many, many. Romans 12:12 has kind of become just a family stake in the ground mantra for us. And it's just, I love verses that are easy for me to remember. And it's in threes. Where Paul says in Romans 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Mm. So in those 9 words, I love that because it's 9, you know, it's 3, 3, and 3. I'm a teacher or was a teacher. So that I love that. But those just remind me, okay, come on, be joyful in hope. You've got the hope of Jesus. Just find some joy, girlfriend. You
That's
don't
right.
have to paint on the happy face, but there is joy in the salvation that you have Jesus, you have a savior. That one's been really powerful. Obviously, always Matthew, 11:28, come to me, you are weary, and I'll give you rest. There's been days where I thought, if I could just crawl to the bed, to the chair, I'm just weary, just tired, not even just physically, but just weary of that same chronic kind of thing in our lives. And a lot of people have chronic. It's not just pain, you know, it's financial, it's shame that we hold on to, it's prodigal kids, it's cancer, it's on and on and on. Chronic doesn't have to just be a back pain. We know that to be true. But I think probably at the end of the day, the one that probably has been most powerful to me is from Romans 15:13. And I think this is just how God continues to remind me. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's that God filling me with hope. And I can't do that without being in his word.
That's right.
So to me, that's the key of him saying, I'm just going to keep filling you. And the reason I'm going to fill you is so that then you can overflow, not pour. You know, we talk all the time about who are you pouring into? Who are you investing in? And if you pour long enough, you're empty.
Yeah.
And so if we just let him keep overflowing or keep flowing in us so that it then overflows, which is why then that one just takes me this one more. And I promise this is it, from 2 Corinthians 1, where he says, praise be once again to the God and Father, Father of compassion, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort that we received. Yes. We don't understand it if we haven't experienced it. That's Mine doesn't have to be just like yours, but his comfort in my pain allows me then to be able to comfort you with that.
Yes.
That's powerful. Yeah. That's the family of God. Oh, love it.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful. So what would you tell somebody who is battling a chronic illness or caring for someone or just any kind of struggle that they're in? Because we do, we all have struggles. We have different struggles, but we all are either struggling with something or we've struggled with something or we will struggle with something. Yes. So what a piece of wisdom do you have?
That's a good question. A lot of learning I'm still doing there, but I think it truly does go back to, it's like, you know, when Mary realized in the garden at the resurrection that that was Jesus, and the Bible says she clung to him. I think that's probably the best advice that I can give, is to cling to him, cling to his word, cling to, you know, just like Mary and Martha, Mary sitting at his feet, Martha doing all the stuff. I do all the stuff. We all do all the stuff. But Mary sat and listened and rested and gained from him and learned from him. And so I think that's first, because you can't give out of empty.
Right.
And you can't care for somebody out of empty. And so whatever it is, the struggle, whatever the struggle is, it's very real. And I often say, you know, if your struggle is potty training a two-year-old that won't comply, sometimes that's a big struggle. And,
that's right.
And in the middle of that, you need God's grace for yourself and for that two-year-old who is determined not to do what you need for them to do. So, and I don't say that in really making fun. I mean that,
right.
Because in my life, I can go to those places where this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Because our heart is hard to us.
Yes.
And so whatever the difficulty is, it's...
So there's no levels of mine's harder or worse than yours.
Right.
We all need that grace every single day. And I can tell you, the grace of God in the everyday is just as powerful, maybe even more so than the seeming grace of God in those big moments when you don't have a place to live. It's just as powerful and just as present. So I think that would be my biggest encouragement. Take care of yourself in his word, rest. I mean, it tells us everything to do. Rest, walk with the Lord, be with other believers, get some support around you, get those people that can listen to you, that can encourage you, that can sit with a cup of coffee and tell you it's going to be okay. I always say there's three things we need as women. I need to know I'm not alone.
That's right.
I need to know that I'm going to survive this, whatever this is, whatever this thing is, and that I'm always going to point you, and I want you to always point me to God's word.
That's great. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. That was fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time today. Okay. I really enjoyed our conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.